Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Developing right now, Southwest Airlines resumes departures after a ground stop. What the company says was to blame.
Plus, a measure that would ban transgender girls from girls' sports in North Carolina passes the first test. We're live at the state legislature with reaction.
Also, a teenager who was shot after going to the wrong house is back at home recovering. Details on the man who shot him and why he said he did it.
And happening now in the WRAL Live Center, within the last 45 minutes, the FAA lifting a nationwide ground stop for Southwest Airlines, including right here at RDU International, where you're looking live right now. This after Southwest reported data connection issues resulting from a firewall failure, which affected people checking in for their flights. Now, when the ground stop occurred, nearly 2,500 Southwest flights were delayed, and that's according to the website FlightAware. Now, even though the ground stop is lifted, Southwest says there's still a ripple effect of more delays throughout the day, including here at RDU International, as the airline tries to get its schedule back on track. In a social media post, Southwest apologized to its customers for any inconvenience this may have caused. So if you're flying Southwest later today, be sure to check your flight status before heading to the airport.
North Carolina lawmakers debated a bill this morning that would ban any students identified as male on their birth certificate from playing sports on teams designated for females. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. More than 20 states have already passed similar laws regarding transgender athletes. WRAL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie was at this morning's hearing with reaction. Laura.
Renee, the meeting was crowded with advocates on both sides lining up to speak about the bill. Critics say it's unnecessary and political and that it uses the transgender community to fire up the conservative base. But supporters of the bill say it's necessary to protect women's sports and the cisgender women who play them. More than 160,000 students in North Carolina compete in athletics. 15 of them, that's less than 0.001%, are transgender girls playing on girls' sports teams. A Senate bill sponsor, Vicki Sawyer, said 15 is too many. Sawyer mocked transgender girls as males who feel like females, and she said biological differences between girls and boys make it unfair for anyone born male to compete with others who are born female. She predicted that biological males would eventually take over women's sports and that women would be deprived of spots on teams, championships, even scholarships that were meant to go to biological women under Title IX.
This bill is not about being anti-trans. This bill is about being pro-woman. And if you're a woman, I ask you to stand with me and protect our sports.
Laws like this send a clear message to trans people that we are not accepted, not wanted, and not welcome.
That's Kat Salemi. She's a Durham counselor who works with trans and non-binary people. And they said bills like this one are difficult because transgender kids already struggle to be accepted for who they are, and bills like this may make them less safe by drumming up fear and anger against them. That bill passed on party lines this morning in committee. It's expected to be on the Senate floor later this week. Renee?
And the bill is drumming up a lot of reaction and controversy. Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie, thank you.
There could soon be new rules for the books your child is allowed to read in class. The Wake County Board of Education is considering a plan to ensure books are, quote, not pervasively vulgar. It would also require teachers to make considerations for material read aloud in class and would make library books subject to the same review as books used in the classroom. Keep in mind, it could be months before any changes are actually made for this. Today's meeting starts at 3.
More affordable housing could be coming to Wake County thanks to tax credit approval recommendations today from the Wake County Board of Commissioners. WRAL's Michelle McConaughey is here now with what areas could be seeing this money and how much. Michelle.
Renee, Wake County Commissioners say they're committed to enhancing the stock of affordable homes to meet the needs of our diverse community. That's why they're recommending $11.8 million in funding for 6 development projects in Cary, Knightdale, Raleigh, and Rollsville. The projects for Raleigh include almost $6 million for Hampton Springs Apartments, Lake Haven, and Branch Apartments, and more than $1.5 million for Rose Park Manor Apartments in Cary, and $2.7 million for Knights Court in Knightdale. Oak Grove Crossing apartments in Rollsville would also get $1.7 million of the money. All 515 units would serve low-income households. 242 of them will serve households earning 50% of the area median income, and then 141 of those will serve households earning 30% of the area's median income. We spoke with the director of housing affordability in Wake County at a future build site about why it's so important to build these homes.
We have to incentivize affordable development. Wake County is one of the most desirable communities to live in. It's the second fastest growing county in the nation. And we love that we have this really desirable, vibrant community, but the market's not going to create space for affordable units for the folks who've lived here for their lives and want to stay. And so we have to create a space for them so they can afford to stay in their communities.
And the project can now be submitted to the North Carolina Housing Finance Agency for final approval. As soon as they get that, developers can begin working to launch the building process. All construction must be completed within the next 2 years, Renee.
It will be a welcome site for a growing county. Michelle, thank you. We're working to learn how badly three people were hurt in a deadly crash involving a dump truck. This happened in Johnston County. We learned last night that Jennifer Camille Melendez and her daughter Michaela in the crash on Friday along Drag Strip Road and Highway 242. The driver of the car they were in, Kiara Guadalupe Mercado, is facing several charges. Investigators say she did not stop at the stop sign at the intersection and their car was hit by the dump truck. Three others who were hurt were also in that car.
A Kansas City, Missouri man is charged with shooting a 16-year-old for ringing the wrong doorbell. Ralph Yarl was shot twice, including once in the head. He's been discharged from the hospital now, but Maggie Vespa reports he has a long road to recovery.
Shut it down!
This morning, Mounting calls for justice after a Missouri teen was shot when, according to his family, he simply rang the wrong doorbell. '84-year-old Andrew Lester, the Kansas City homeowner who is white, is facing first-degree assault and armed criminal action charges for allegedly shooting 16-year-old Ralph Yarl, who is black. The high school junior went to pick up his younger twin brothers Thursday night, but his family says he accidentally went to the wrong home and rang the bell. According to the probable cause warrant for his arrest, Lester thought Ralph Yarl was attempting to break in and was, quote, scared to death.
There was a racial component to the case.
Clay County Prosecutor Zachary Thompson says Yarl never crossed into Lester's home and alleges he was shot through a glass door with a .32 revolver. Yarl told police Lester also said, "Don't come around here." Civil rights attorney Lee Merritt says Yarl was shot twice, including once in the head, after he was shot, running for help, knocking on multiple doors.
And then the third neighbor gave him instructions to put his hands in the air and lie on the ground.
The shooting garnered the attention of the nation, making headlines in Hollywood, too. Halle Berry and Viola Davis posting on social media demanding charges. Merritt also says President Biden called Yarl, inviting him to the White House. Relatives say Yarl is a marching band standout with dreams of attending Texas A&M for chemical engineering, and that his community is strong, his family thankful he's alive.
He's alive. I think that's the biggest message that I want people to remember, is that he is alive.
That was Maggie Vespa reporting. A GoFundMe page was started to help the family with medical expenses. As of last night, it has raised nearly $2 million. Attorneys for the family of Tyree Nichols are expected to announce a civil lawsuit this week. Officers repeatedly punched and kicked Nichols during a January traffic stop and arrest in Memphis. Nichols died 3 days later. Five Memphis police officers have been fired and criminally charged with second-degree murder. Attorney Ben Crump says the family's civil lawsuit will be filed tomorrow.
You'll likely hear some loud noises around Fort Bragg today. Hundreds of soldiers are taking part in a training exercise over at Pike Field. They'll be working with machine guns, rocket launchers, and more. These are images from the 18th Field Artillery Brigade's Facebook page. The exercises for those soldiers run from 9 to 4 today, as well as this Friday, April 21st. Today is the deadline to file your taxes with the IRS. If you still have questions about your return, you can call the IRS for help. Wait times are about under 5 minutes this year after they were averaging 27 minutes last year. The IRS says government funding is helping it to improve efficiency. Now, if you can't get your taxes in by today, you can file for an extension. If it's granted, you'll have until October 16th to submit your tax return.
And breaking news here in the WREL Live Center, major developments about Bills safety Damar Hamlin. Within the hour, Bills general manager Brandon Bean says Damar Hamlin is fully cleared to return to the football field. Bean says Hamlin saw three specialists over the weekend, and they all cleared him to play. Now, Bean also says Hamlin is already in camp, playing in voluntary workouts with the Bills. Hamlin suffered cardiac arrest during a January 2nd game against Cincinnati Bengals. Now, since then, he's been traveling the country promoting the importance of CPR, which medical experts say saved his life. This is a goal realized for Hamlin, who said months ago he hoped to return to the football field. And Renee and Jeff, I can't even imagine the energy in Bills Stadium when they play their first home game and Hamlin takes the field.
It will be so good to see. And when you think back to when all the fans saw that happen on January 2nd, everybody waking up to the news on January 3rd, to get to this point is just remarkable. He's made an incredible recovery.
And the speed at which he's recovered is crazy as well. It's not like he plays an offensive position either, so it'll be interesting to see. He's the guy who initiates the contact on defense, so we'll see how it plays into his mind as well. Ken, thank you. Next at noon, video you have to see to believe. A middle school fight club in Texas. How the teacher organized it and what happened to her as a result.
Also, a pretty sweet tax break on this tax deadline day. The deal you may want to cash in on at Krispy Kreme.
Plus, changes could be coming to the Raleigh skyline. At 12:30, the possibility of adding 40-story high-rises. Elizabeth.
Lots of sunshine out there, but it's breezy. You take a live look at Wilson. You can see the whirligigs moving around out there. I'll show you why the wind will be significant today. Coming up.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
One person is dead and another is in the hospital after a shooting that happened just before midnight on Gilcrest Sands Drive in the town of Hope Mills. Michael Grace was at the scene overnight in the WRL Breaking News Tracker.
Well, here just after 7, you can see behind me, authorities have started to clear this crime scene. Just one more police unit here right now. So let's get you to this video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker of what this scene looked like earlier. This is from around 4 in the morning. You can see this whole section of the block roped off by crime tape and really honing in on that one specific house here in the middle of the block. Investigators going in and out throughout this morning and just stopped about 10 minutes ago. Again, right here after 7. Now, what we do know is two people were shot. One was dead on scene once authorities arrived. The other in the hospital in stable condition. And the other big question we're still asking investigators is if they have anybody in custody at this time. In Cumberland County, Michael Grace, WRAL News.
It's been nearly a week since a pool party shooting in Wayne County left one teenager dead and 5 others hurt. No one in custody and community members are calling for action. Family, friends and neighbors of those teens gathered at Goldsboro City Council last night. Members called for more investment in youth centers, crime prevention, even implementing curfews. Others want the owners of the property where the party took place to be held liable for operating an illegal event space. Goldsboro's mayor says the owners held events even after failing to get the property rezoned as an Airbnb. Those who showed up last night say it was important to speak up.
I had to get my point across. We are a family that comes from a family that speaks, and we speak and we stand on what we believe in. We was raised that way. We can't help it. So, no. And my cousin been strong when she been here the whole time.
We're going to get through this together.
A funeral will take place tomorrow for 15-year-old Joyanna Pearsall, who died in the shooting.
A substitute teacher in Texas is out of a job after she was caught on camera encouraging students to fight in her classroom.
I do not want this on record.
Well, she didn't want it on record, but it is. Not only did the 24-year-old allow them to fight, one of the witnesses said the teacher even pushed the desks aside to create space for the 12 and 13-year-olds to brawl. The school district says she went as far as outlining rules for the students to follow and even instructed a student to monitor the classroom door while those fights took place.
A Moscow court rejected an appeal from U.S. journalist Evan Gershkovich today to be freed from pretrial detention. The ruling means he will stay in detention until at least May 29th, while a spying case against him is being investigated. Gershkovich is a Wall Street Journal reporter. He denies the espionage charges. His legal team suggested that he be freed on bail of $615,000 or placed under house arrest. But the court rejected those suggestions.
The charges against Evan are baseless, and we call on the Russian Federation to immediately release him. We also call for the immediate release of Paul Whelan. Paul has been held more than 4 years in Russia. Both men deserve to go home to their families now.
His legal team says they will keep appealing against his detention. His next court date is scheduled for May. Don't think anyone will be appealing today's weather, though.
Yeah, no, much lighter, brighter news out there. If you go outside, Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center right now with what the conditions are.
It's beautiful out there right now. We take a look and you can see the blue skies. And I picked this camera because we can see the flags right here in front of the legislative building. You can see they're moving around. You can see the trees also. So the windy conditions today are significant because it's creating high fire danger. Our humidity is, interestingly enough, almost historically low. I was just seeing a note from the National Weather Service, the amount of moisture in the atmosphere is one of the lowest for this particular date in April. 70 degrees right now. Dew point is sitting at 33, and that is very low. Temperatures will climb into the upper 70s. So with low humidity and those temperatures, it feels really nice. But with this low humidity and the wind that we're seeing outside right now, we do have high fire danger today. And what you want to do is just avoid any outdoor burning. The number on the left is the steady wind. Our wind's coming out of the west at 8 miles per hour in southern Pines, 13 in Durham and Raleigh, 14 in South Hill. The number in the white box on the right are the gusts. So we're gusting to 21 in Durham and Raleigh, 23 in South Hill, 17 in Goldsboro, 19 in Rocky Mount. So it's a little blustery out there. We're not looking at anything that's going to cause any damage, but it is enough for that high fire danger. We'll see west winds gusting 20 to 25 miles per hour through the afternoon. The high fire danger does cover the entire viewing area. And we give it a couple more days. Our humidity will start to climb, especially as we get into Friday and Saturday, and that should ease up our fire danger. Increased fire danger. Anytime we have breezy conditions with dry air, we tend to have that high fire danger. So again, put off that outdoor burning for a couple more days. Around town, it's going to feel fantastic this afternoon. 77 for the high in Raleigh, 78 in Durham, and 80 degrees in Fayetteville. Just an absolutely beautiful day. We're way down here on the bottom rung in terms of our muggy meter. It feels refreshing. And even though it will climb into the 50s, the dew point will, as we head toward the weekend, that still keeps us in the comfy category. We're going to see our temperatures really climbing. And our dew point climbs a little bit, too. But Friday and Saturday, it's in the 50s. And that, again, still keeps us in the comfortable zone, especially because our temperatures will be climbing. 77 for today. 74 is our normal high temperature. We're in the 80s starting tomorrow all the way through Saturday. But we have some big temperature changes coming our way. A cold front's likely to come through Saturday night and really change things up. Of course, ahead of that, tomorrow, it's really going to be perfect with low humidity. It's going to be wonderful weather for tailgating at the Carolina Hurricanes game tomorrow, 82 degrees at 5 o'clock and 71 degrees at 10. It'll be absolutely beautiful. But again, we look forward past Saturday into Sunday, and we have a good chance of below normal temperatures, and that's likely to continue for a good chunk of the following week as well. So Earth Day is Saturday. In just a few minutes, I'm going to go through and we'll outline the timeline for the thunderstorms that are likely to come through. Again, behind that, we're turning much cooler with temperatures in the 60s.
Elizabeth, thanks. Domestic violence victims in Durham will soon have a new safe haven. Today at 4, WRL's Sarah Kruger explains how the newly renovated Durham Crisis Response Center will help people in need.
And at 5:30, we've been tracking soaring egg prices for months. Five Under Side explains how you can save money and get the same product just by knowing what the carton labels mean. All right, if you like tax season, raise your hand. Yeah, I don't see too many. But Krispy Kreme is introducing a sweet deal to help you take the edge off.
If you haven't booked flights for your family vacation, you're in for a big shock. In our next half hour, we will share five ways to save money and ways to prepare for the summer travel season.
Well, certainly a couple of beach days possibly ahead of us. This is a live look from our WRL LiveCam network at Carolina Beach. How about that? Some folks taking advantage, not just the sunshine, but the blue and green surf out there. It looks beautiful. There are changes coming for McDonald's hamburgers, and fewer electric vehicles are now eligible for those federal tax credits. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Far fewer electric vehicles are now eligible for tax credits. Just 10 electric and plug-in hybrid vehicles now qualify for the full $7,500 incentive under the new rules from the Treasury Department. The new requirements are tied to where a vehicle's battery parts and minerals come from. It's an effort to boost U.S. production. The result is just vehicles from Ford, GM, Tesla, and Stellantis now eligible for the full credit. The change takes effect today and applies to EVs even if they were ordered before April 18th. Apple's now offering a high-yield savings account. It pays a 4.15% interest rate and can be set up through the Wallet app on iPhones, but you need to have an Apple card to open an account. The high interest rate gives Apple a competitor to accounts offered by online banks, credit unions, and Goldman Sachs. Nationally, the average interest rate on savings accounts is just 0.35%, according to the FDIC. McDonald's is upgrading its burgers. The fast food chain calls the changes small but tasty improvements. The buns will be softer and freshly toasted, and burger patties juicier with a caramelized flavor. And McDonald's says it's changing up the cheese to make it meltier, and there'll be more Big Mac sauce as well. In addition to the Big Mac, the upgrades will be rolled out to the McDouble cheeseburger, double cheeseburger, and the hamburger. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
Thousands of video game developers and industry experts are gathering in Raleigh today. The city's convention center is hosting the annual East Coast Game Conference. Staff and faculty with Wake Tech are helping to organize the event. The conference is designed to get people of all ages and skill levels into the growing video game industry. This event runs through Thursday.
Winning in a video game is helping some people improve their self-image. A digital media trend survey shows most gamers get a boost in their self-confidence. About a third of the respondents say they feel better about their self-image when they play video games. Researchers say people now look for real meaning and self-fulfillment in digital media. The report also shows around half of Gen Z and millennial gamers spend more time socializing in video games than in the real world. Krispy Kreme wants to give customers a sweet tax break on tax day. Today, customers who buy an assorted or original glazed dozen will only pay sales tax for a second original glazed dozen. The offer is available at participating Krispy Kreme shops. The chain says there's a limit of 24 per customer for those in-store orders and a limit of 1 when you order online via Krispy Kreme's app or website. There could soon be a new skyscraper in downtown Raleigh. How a rezoning plan could reshape the capital city skyline.
Plus, Americans are looking for solutions to decrease gun violence. How lawmakers are reacting. And here are your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
The Raleigh skyline could be adding another skyscraper with the potential to rival the tallest tower downtown. In the next hour, City Council will meet to consider rezoning land on the corner of West Davie and McDowell Streets for a development up to 40 stories tall. WRAL's Matt Tallhelm is there live with what could be in store. Matt.
Yeah, Renee, that rezoning request covers what is now this outdoor parking lot here right across from the Justice Center over that way. This owner of this land also owns the Truist building you see right up there. It towers over this site. They want to be able to build up to 40 stories here. That's as tall as the tallest in town, the PNC Tower over there. The California-based developer has told the city they plan to build multifamily housing or a hotel on this site. It is next to the convention center. It's right across from where two other hotels are already under construction right now. This is the latest rezoning request from a developer who wants to build taller towers in Raleigh. In the last 2 years, council has approved 25 rezoning cases for buildings up to 20 or 40 stories.
there are plans for additional apartment units, up to 20 stories. Salisbury Square is one. I know there are additional plans for a hotel. So I think we're seeing development downtown as a whole. And I think, you know, bringing density downtown is supportive of what we have in the comprehensive plan as far as policies for supporting growth.
Now, City Council held off on a decision about this latest rezoning earlier this month. They wanted to work out some details with the developer, and one of those has been worked out. Since then, the developer has agreed to pay $100,000 to the city's affordable housing fund. They also have agreed to put in a bike share station here at the site and some public art as part of this project. City Council will consider this rezoning at the meeting that starts at 1 o'clock over at the municipal building. We'll bring you updates on this project and some of the others that are coming to downtown starting today on your news at 4.
We know Raleigh keeps growing, not just in population, but now maybe even in height. Matt Talhelm, keep us updated. Thank you.
Our county by county coverage takes us to Cumberland, Johnston, and Person counties. Tonight, you can help decide the future of Uptown Roxborough. The city is holding a meeting tonight to share some of its ideas for the community as part of its strategic streetscape improvement project. The goal is to modernize the area, adding better utilities, lighting, and more seating for restaurants and businesses that have opened. Tonight's discussion is at 6:30 at City Hall on South Lamar Street. Students at Fayetteville State University will soon have more opportunities to get jobs in the federal government. A top official with the U.S. Agency for International Development went to the university today to make a new partnership official. The agency is agreeing to develop a career workforce program at FSU with internships and certification programs. The town of Benson is looking for artists for a wall mural on the Lee Street Gymnasium. This will be the third mural project for the Benson Art Advisory Board. This mural opportunity is made possible by the Johnston County Visitors Bureau through occupancy taxes collected from Benson hotels. The guidelines for those guidelines, you can visit thetownofbenson.com. Entries have to be submitted no later than May 10th, 2023.
The ATF director was in the hot seat on Capitol Hill today, facing questions from lawmakers as communities reel from another violent weekend of shootings. It's a historically fast start for mass shootings in 2023. Here's Madeline Rivera.
3 weeks after the Nashville mass shooting, protesters once again hit the steps of the state capitol, this time carrying caskets. They hope the image sticks with lawmakers whom they're urging to pass gun reform.
Third graders saw the dead bodies of their friends.
In Alabama, a community is also grappling with grief after four people were killed at a Sweet 16 birthday party over the weekend. That tragedy among the more than 160 mass shootings this year. New research shows the number of gun deaths among children and teens in the U.S. rose 50% in 2 years.
This is not the time to sit and be complacent because 120 people at least die every day from gun violence.
Still passing more gun measures in a divided Congress is a tall task.
How is this not a blatant attack on Americans' Second Amendment rights?
Despite more Americans voicing concern over the political gun debate.
Certainly, we all know the number of mass shootings in this country continue to rise.
ATF has not significantly grown as firearms violence and violent crime in our country has grown.
With action from Congress unclear, at least one company is taking action that could help curb the gun crisis. BioFire Technologies has developed a smart gun that uses fingerprint and facial recognition to prevent unauthorized people from firing it. But the push for a bipartisan solution remains.
That was Madeline Rivera reporting. According to a new survey, gun-related incidents are becoming more common. One in five U.S. adults has personally been threatened by a gun.
And breaking here in the WREL Live Center, rival forces in the country of Sudan agreeing to a 24-hour ceasefire. This coming after Secretary of State Antony Blinken confirmed that a U.S. embassy convoy came under heavy fire within the last 24 hours. Blinken said that that convoy was clearly marked as UN vehicles. This is video of the unrest that erupted over the weekend in a power struggle between Sudanese army forces and rival forces. Blinken says though everyone in that convoy made it out safely. The UN says in the last 4 days before this temporary ceasefire, that violence killed more than 180 people and injured about 1,800 others.
Carolina Hurricanes made a big splash entering the Stanley Cup playoffs, taking down the New York Islanders last night at PNC Arena in game one of their opening round series. 2-1 was the final. Thousands of fans packed into the arena, hoping this fifth straight playoff run will end with Lord Stanley's Cup.
I think the way that we constantly adapt is really what makes the big change here. We're coming together as a team. You saw the way these last two games went of the season. I expect this to continue the rest of the way through the playoffs.
That's a good start. And game two of the series is tomorrow night at PNC. Puck drops at 7 o'clock.
Jazz musicians from across the country are meeting on the campus of North Carolina Central University today. NC Central is kicking off its 32nd annual Jazz Festival. There will be concerts, clinics, and lectures from musicians, including Grammy nominee Antonio Hart. The festival runs through April 30th. Just last month, North Carolina Central's jazz band won the prestigious Jack Rudin Jazz Competition in New York City.
Making family memories this summer could be even more expensive. We'll explain five ways you can book your family vacation without blowing your budget.
Plus, helping refugees and immigrants who come to this country feel warmth and support. The story behind the Welcome Blanket Project. Welcome back. You're looking live at the WRL Azalea Gardens, and we welcome you to come check out the gardens. You can see a few folks are already doing just that. There's always something blooming. It's open to the public, open from dawn till dusk. You're watching WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. YouTube is changing how it deals with content related to eating disorders. The online video sharing and social media platform announced it's banning content that features behaviors that at-risk users could imitate. That includes extreme calorie counting or purging after eating. The ban is for videos that are not focused on recovery. For recovery-focused videos, YouTube will allow the content but restrict who can see it. Most adults in the U.S. and a third of children use dietary supplements. Researchers found that nearly 59% of adults said they used at least one, and 35% of children and adolescents had as well. Experts say use of dietary supplements is probably higher now, as it grew during the pandemic when people were trying to boost their immunity. According to the CDC, women use dietary supplements more than men.
If you're traveling with your family this summer but haven't booked flights yet, get ready for some sticker shock. Patrick Cornell shares five ways to save money and ways to prepare for what's expected to be a wild travel season.
If you're planning to travel with your family this summer, a bit of planning can save you money as airfare prices soar.
You're seeing airfare today look approximately where it was pre-pandemic.
Travel expert Scott Kies has these five tips to enjoy your family vacay without breaking the bank. Number one, book flights now. Kies recommends booking at least a month before your summer travel.
Airfare tends to move in one direction in the last few weeks before a flight, and it's not down. It almost always goes up. By May, there's almost no hope.
Which brings us to number two. Be flexible with your travel dates. Either shift them earlier or later to find cheaper options. Number three, consider going abroad.
London has gotten a ton of extra capacity added. A new budget airline called Norse Atlantic Airways has started to add nonstop flights from all over the U.S.
Number four, be open to alternative destinations. Kai says instead of going to popular spots like Hawaii or Miami, go to underappreciated locations like Banff, Canada.
Tourism between the U.S. and Canada is still down about 20% from where it was pre-pandemic. And so you're going to, you know, this is a place that would typically be quite crowded, especially during the middle of summer.
And finally, prepare for any potential summer travel frenzy. Get to the airport early, skip checking in your bags in case your flight has changed, and know your rights.
When you get that schedule change notification, don't view it as a negative. View it as an opportunity to get switched to a better flight without having to pay anything out of pocket.
That was Patrick Cornell reporting. And another flight is coming to RDU International this summer. Breeze Airways just revealed it will add service to New York's Islip Long Island MacArthur Airport. Nonstop flight starts June 29th. One-way tickets start at $59. This is Breeze's ninth nonstop route from RDU since it launched at the airport back in February.
Making immigrants feel right at home. Coming up, how a nationwide effort is giving refugees a big warm hug upon arrival.
Plus, Apple opens a flagship store in India. We'll share a cool moment from today's festivities. People across the country and around the world are knitting and sewing blankets to help make immigrants feel welcome in the United States. Jackie Banez shares details about the Welcome Blanket Project.
Refugees and immigrants coming to the United States are receiving a warm welcome, but not the way you think. These are welcome blankets.
I think it's nice, something for them.
People from across the country and globe are using their skilled hands to sew, crochet, and knit the blankets. They are one of the first gifts given to people migrating to the U.S. to help them feel comfortable.
I try to design the blankets when I knit them with the thought of somebody basically covering themselves and feeling warm, and that they're getting somebody holding them and giving them a hug.
It is part of the Welcome Blanket Project, which launched in 2017. The project is intended for refugees, including Ukrainians, escaping Russia's invasion of their country. But immigrants also received the blankets. The gift comes with a handwritten note from the maker, sharing their family's history of immigration and migration.
Welcome to Brookline. Our family came from Eastern Europe to avoid prejudice and to live freely.
The welcome blankets and notes are first put on display in museums across the country. When the exhibition is done, they are packed up and given to more than 30 resettlement agencies helping immigrants, asylum seekers, or refugees.
Oh my God, I love it. That feels so special.
Jackie Banez reporting, and so far thousands of blankets and notes have been displayed in museums in Atlanta, Chicago, Los Angeles, and Vermont. And that's what I wanted to hear, the reaction from some of the folks getting them.
Yeah, and those notes, the documenting just the stories of countless people who now make America their home.
Tough enough trip as it is. Certainly the weather is not a tough stretch this afternoon.
No, sunshine providing the warmth. We had a cooler start, you know, jacket required, but then, wow, we really warmed things up quickly. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WREL Severe Weather Center with how we all want to get outside right now.
Yeah, it is so beautiful out there right now. We talked about the fact that it's a little bit breezy, but our temperatures are warming on up into the upper 70s. We have 80s on the way in our forecast coming up for the next several days. But we are going to end the week over the weekend with the potential for some showers and thunderstorms. And it looks like, of course, the seventh weekend in a row that we've had the potential for scattered showers and storms. Right now, it looks like the rain will begin to pick up late Saturday, Saturday night. We have the potential for some strong damaging winds with this front. But the timing, of course, we still have a lot more information coming our way, a lot more runs of the computer models before we get to Saturday. And today, the computer models are in good agreement, but a few days ago, they weren't. Now, we would expect that as we get closer and closer to Saturday, they would come in closer agreement. So we're feeling a lot more confident on the forecast for the timing of this storm. Right now, high pressure is building in. That's what's bringing us all the sunshine. We'll see that all the way through Friday. The system that's going to bring us rain over the weekend is developing back here across the Pacific Northwest and will continue to swing eastward. So we know we're going to have nice weather through Friday, but let's start here at 5 a.m. on Saturday. We'll zoom in a little bit here at 9 a.m. and you can see a strong southerly flow. We'll see that really starting to develop tomorrow. That's what's going to put us up into the 80s for highs, and we'll see the warmth continuing to surge in ahead of the front through the day on Saturday. It looks like a fairly beefy front right now. A couple of days ago, it looked like maybe it was going to be more of an all-day rain, but instead, we'll have the chance for some strong thunderstorms. Right now, it looks like that should start to approach us around dinner time or so. This is a look at around 11 o'clock Saturday night, and we'll move it ahead to Sunday morning, and it begins to pull away from us pretty early, pretty soon after sunrise. Now, of course, that is likely to change at least somewhat. It could speed up a little bit or slow down a little bit, and the duration of the rain may increase or decrease a bit between now and Saturday. So keep checking back. But again, the models are pretty consistent with this, at least for the last 24 hours. So we are in for another wet weekend. We should stay fairly dry during the day on Saturday. At least that's the way it looks right now. Most of the rain would be overnight and moving out fairly early on Sunday. And of course, once that moves out, we're looking at much, much cooler temperatures by almost 20 degrees. Yes, it has rained a lot in April. We've seen the wettest April so far since 1945, almost 5 1/4 inches of rainfall. So we don't really need any more rain, but it looks like we'll get it anyway. Again, beautiful sunshine all the way through Friday, increasing clouds on Saturday with showers and thunderstorms overnight. It is Earth Day Saturday. I do think that everything happening during the day on Saturday, at least right now, it looks like it should stay dry. And Sunday looks like it'll be a dry day as well, but much cooler with a high of 68. We stay cool well into next week with Monday's high only 64.
Elizabeth, thanks. How much are you willing to pay for a three-piece suit? Or more specifically, this iconic three-piece suit. We'll tell you how much is expected to get at auction.
And here are your winning Powerball numbers, 23, 25, 35, 63, 64. The Powerball was 25. Power Play was 3. We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we are following for you today. North Carolina took its first step toward banning transgender girls from playing on girls' sports teams in middle and high school. The Senate Education Committee advanced a bill which would lead to that ban. More than 20 other states have already passed similar legislation.
More affordable housing could be coming to Wake County after tax credit approvals. County commissioners recommended $11.8 million in fundings for 6 development projects. They would be in Cary, Knightdale, Raleigh, and Rollsville. The projects can now be submitted to the North Carolina Housing Finance Agency for final approval. All construction must be completed within the next 2 years.
New in the last hour, Southwest flights are allowed to be in the air once again after the FAA canceled its ground stop for the airline. Southwest says a technology issue caused more than 1,500 flights to be delayed. The ground stop lasted about 45 minutes. In a social media post, Southwest apologized to customers for any inconvenience this may have caused.
Apple opened its first retail store in India today. Hundreds lined up outside the flagship store, hoping to be the first inside. Apple CEO Tim Cook was on deck for the grand opening. And check out this cool moment. One fan showed up with a version of the first Apple computer, a Macintosh, launched in 1984.
That's pretty neat. Saturday Night Fever fans can get their hands on John Travolta's white suit, the one from the movie. The costume is expected to sell for up to $200,000. Currently, the three-piece suit has reached a bid of $100,000. This is the first time that suit has been auctioned or exhibited.
It is time for our pet of the day. Meet Raphael, a handsome border terrier mix. Raphael is exceptional in every way. Exceptionally cute, exceptionally dog-friendly, exceptionally sweet, and really easy to handle. He weighs 42 pounds. He's around 1 to 2 years old. Raphael is respectful of other dogs, but we do want to mention that he'd probably do best in a home without any cats around. Raphael is neutered, microchipped, ready to complete your family. Interested adopters should visit redbarnrescue.com. You can fill out an application today.
And then take them out for a walk. Mm-hmm. Joint pain, fatigue, and lack of motivation. Millions of women go through these symptoms. Today on WRL News at 4, the new procedure using testosterone to treat menopause.
Thanks for spending this past hour with us. NBC News Daily is next on WRAL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can always get breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app. Now you can get out there and enjoy what is a great day ahead.
Us as well. Have a great day, everybody.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.